Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Amen. Go with me in your Bibles to the book of Jonah. We've been on a series of GPS. Now, GPS stands for Global Positioning System, but I began calling it God's Positioning System. And we've talked about where are you? Was our first installment in the series, and then we took a break for Mother's Day, and I preached a Mother's Day message, and our second installment last week was direction, that God wants to give us direction, amen? But I'm real excited about this because I need this so much in my life, and that is recalculating. Aren't you glad that God recalculates you? Because you know what? Now look at the same person you told that you was the best looking one in here. Now look at your other neighbor and tell them, I know you need some recalculating because I know you. Amen. And so I want to talk a little bit about when God recalculates you. I didn't say that he, I'm not going to get into that. Let me move on. In the book of Jonah, chapter 3, when you get there, say amen. Jonah, chapter 3. Now, most of us know the story, but for those of you who don't, I will reiterate the story. In chapter 1, the Bible said that the Lord gave Jonah a word, and Jonah didn't like the word that the Lord gave, so he went down to the shipyard, grabbed a ship going to Tarshish, paid the fare, and went away from the presence of the Lord. Now, I'm still on verse 1. Hang on, go back there, Sean. Don't quit pushing on me. He's like, all right, everybody knows the story. Go to the next one. Not everybody. So, we understand that the Bible says that the Lord prepared a fish and a storm. And the storm came up, and everybody was afraid except for Jonah. Jonah was asleep in the bottom of the ship while everybody else was tripping out and flipping out. And then the captain came down and said, what's wrong with you? Now, this is the Florida version. What's wrong with you? This ship's about to go down, Jack. You need to pray or call on whoever God that you think about because we're going down. And he goes, no, this storm is here because of me. Now, boy, I could preach right there. This storm is here because of you. Can I just tell you that sometimes you get into a storm because of the people you allow to come into your life? Preach, preacher. Let me tell you what happened to me one year. This has been many years ago. As a matter of fact, they still come to this church. But they were having some marital trouble. I mean, they were knocked down, drag out. I know y'all don't have them because y'all's like so holy and stuff. But this family was knocked down, drag out. And Thursday nights is usually my family night, especially when my children were home. And so I heard somebody out, I seen lights come up. And I go, well, I wonder who's here. And I stepped out, and it was that couple that I'd been dealing with for weeks and months. And they was fussing and fighting. And they started to come up on the grass, and I just told them, I go, nope, stay right there. Stay right there. I'm coming to you. Now, I know some of y'all, I'm going to lose some of y'all right here because y'all going to say, he is not a good pastor. Whatever. They still together. Anyway. I walked out there, I go, nope. I said, no, this is my family night. Y'all not going to bring your Jerry Springer show up into my house. Well, Pastor, let's go out here. Let's come off my property. I don't want none of that getting on me. Now, what can I help you with? And it was a quick thing, and we helped them. But I said all that to say that you let people bring storms into your life that you were never born or destined or assigned to fight. But because of people, Pastor, what do I do? Well, you first of all, you can give people access or not give them access to your life. Now, that might have seemed rude to some of you for me to do that to that couple, but my family was enjoying a nice meal, and y'all are coming up in here disrupting my trip. And so I had to stop it before it got there. So some of us may be in a trial or a storm, not because of what we've done or the decisions that we've made, but because of whom or who we let come on our ship. I had a mama call me the other day, and once again, I'm going to lose somebody right here. Pastor, my son wants to move in with me. I said, nope, I wouldn't do it. Well, let me finish. I said, nope, I ain't going to let you finish. Nope, I wouldn't do it. But Pastor, I love my son. I know it. I said, but do you love you? Well, yeah. I said, is your son a drunk? Yes. Is your son a drug addict? Yes. I said, the last time you let a child move in with you, you almost got kicked out of the place where you live in because they were Jerry Springer, right? Yep. I said, this son, I know, because I've known this family for over 20 years. I said, this son's worse than the last child you let live with you, so no, I wouldn't let them come on. But I'm being a bad parent. I said, no, you ain't. You can't save anybody else when they killing you. I'm trying to help somebody. That's not even in my message. Well, Pastor, I should always... No, no, no. Listen, some of y'all can't save every ship. Well, Pastor, oh, bless God, they just ain't never been to my port because I can save every... No, no, you ain't Jesus. And people will use Jesus to get on your ship. Now, let me move on before I get in trouble. So, but here's what happened. Then he goes... Throw me overboard, and they threw him overboard, and the fish swallowed him, and he was... Now, this tells you the resolve of Jonah that he was in the belly of the whale for 3 days before he ever cried out unto God. Now, we know some folks like that. Let me just hit this. I don't know. I don't know why I'm meddling, but I just feel a meddling spirit on me today. Let me just meddle a minute. Some of you let your children move in. All right, now you're going to go to church with me. No, I ain't going to church. All right. No, 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 no. No, no. You're going to sit up in my air condition, and you're going to eat my food, and you're going to use my water and my electric and my... You're going to church. If you ain't got a J-O-B on Sunday, you're going to church. That's what you're going to do. Uh-huh. Some of you are like, well, I just... Whatever. Whatever. But they ain't going to do that on me. I told my children, as long as I've got a roof over my head, you've got a roof over your head. I will never kick you out. I will never make you leave. You can stay in here as long as you want to. But now when you get married, you can also stay here for a little while. But if your bonehead husband is lazy, that ain't going to work. Because if I come home and he ain't got no job, my yard better be mowed and raked, and there ought to be something on the table. Now, I don't play that. Just in case y'all was planning on moving in with me. I'm just telling y'all that right now. I don't play that. Mm-hmm. And if I need to move in with you, just go ahead and get ready. Your yard's going to be cut, your flower bed. I hate doing flower beds, but y'all be out there in the flower bed because I'm going to earn my keep. Hang on a minute. I believe I will. I know it's 8:30 service, but I'm going to amen myself. That's some good stuff right there. Some of y'all quiet because y'all letting y'all children do it, but let me go on, move on before I get in trouble. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. All right, now, here's what Jonah did. All right, now, the Bible said that the Lord spoke to the fish in the last verse of chapter 2, and the fish spit him up. The fish vomited him up. That's what the Bible said. Now, I want you to think about old Jonah being spit up on shore. In verse 1, it said seaweed was wrapped around his head. Now he's got mucus on him. You could have went to Nineveh in your preacher suit. If you would have just did what the Lord said the first time, you could have went in all of the glory that the Lord wanted to send you. But you wanted to be a bonehead, so you still going to go to Nineveh, but now you're going to go with your clothes all messed up, with your hair all messed up, with some mucus on you, and you stinking. But you're still going. Now, here's what it said in chapter 3. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh. Lord, the destination hadn't changed. Nope. I still want you to go to Nineveh and preach to it the message that I tell you. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3-day journey in extent. Verse 4. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now there's a whole story that everybody gets saved. Everybody goes into fasting. When I say they went into a fast, they went into a fast. Not only did they fast, but even the animals fasted. Read it. Even the animals fasted. Everybody's going on a fast. Are we going down? But here's where I want to come into. That Jonah went against the word of the Lord. But thank God that the Lord didn't just throw him into the fish and let him stay there. But when Jonah got ready to do what God wanted him to do, the fish spit him up on shore. And if you could visualize a GPS that you and I use, if you could visualize that, there was a recalculating over the top because you still got to go to the same destination, but you just got to go there from a different perspective now and a different position than where you first started. My God, somebody hear me. Now, point number one is real simple. If you ignore the directions, you get lost. If you ignore the directions, you get lost. Jonah, he had the direction. He just ignored the directions and wound up in the belly of a whale. Now, you'll never convince me that when Jonah boarded the ship heading to Tarshish in the opposite direction from God, that he figured that he'd wind up in a whale. You will never convince me that he thought when he graduated that he is going to go to Whale University. You'll never convince me that when he got... No, I believe that when he got on that ship, he thought it's going to be all right. But he wasn't surprised when the storm hit. He wasn't surprised when the whale came. It wasn't surprised because when he got up, he said, I'm the reason why you're in the trouble. And they threw him over. And so when you ignore the directions, you're always going to get lost. See, how many times do we feel like we know more than God? Oh, we would never admit that, especially us Christians. We would never admit that. That's blasphemy. We would never say that. But we do because we live in a way that is contrary. We go in a way that is contrary to the word of God. So we think that we know more than God. We deliberately don't listen to God and chart our own course instead. And we listen and still go another direction because we ignorantly believe that we can do better or we're stubborn enough to choose wrong despite the warnings. Anybody that stubborn in here? Go ahead and point at them if they sit beside you. I had a daughter that way. She would want to do something, especially when she was small. And she'd go to do it, and I'd go, I'm going to smack that hand. She knew she was going to get smacked, but she'd do it anyway. Because she wanted what she wanted. And some of that is us. God, I'll just take the consequences. I'll just take the consequences and do what I want to do. But what you don't understand is you will wind up debased in the bottom of a well, maybe not a literal well, but you will find yourself based in the basement and wondering what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You deliberately and stubbornly didn't listen to God when God had spoke to you. Now, I happen to be in Hopkinsville, Kentucky. Never been there but once. And I thought I knew my way back to the hotel when I went to dinner. I had my GPS on my motorcycle and I was riding it. My brother, he said, you know the way back home? I go, of course I do. And I started driving. And all of a sudden, nothing looked familiar to me. And I went riding, and as I was riding, I came to a neighborhood that didn't look so friendly. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It didn't look friendly. It didn't go, oh, come on in, ye that labor and are heavy laden. No, I got there, and you know what I did? I plugged my GPS back in. So that's what you got to do. Is when you find yourself at a dead end. My God, somebody hear me. You find yourself at a dead end. First of all, you should never unplug your GPS. But if you do and you find yourself at the dead end, thank God that you can plug it in and it'll recalculate where you are and tell you how to get back to where you're supposed to be. Plug in your GPS. I decided that I needed my GPS to find my way home. And I plugged it in. Well, then that begs the question then, preacher. If I never turn off my GPS, then why do we miss it sometimes, even with GPS? Anybody else do that? Now, I'll tell you that I changed GPSs on my ride, on my month-long ride. I used one GPS all the way to Athens, Georgia. But when I got there, I changed it out for my phone. Because here's why. Let me tell you. I'll tell you that in just a minute. Well, why do we miss it? Why? Well, number one is this. We miss our turn sometimes because we're going too fast for the instructions. We're going too fast for the instructions. Y'all have to fix this a little bit later, but the next slide says this: never ride faster than your angels can fly. That's a saying I have on my rider vest. But sometimes I would ride faster than the instructions were given me. And there were many times when I would turn on a street and you have to do like a turn here and then just go a little bit and have to turn again. And your GPS didn't even have time to tell you where to turn. Because I'm overdriving. I'm driving faster than the instructions are giving me. And what that means is that I need to slow down so I don't get lost. And there are some of us who are running ahead of God, running ahead and just trying to run before the instructions ever get here because you think you know where you're going. I have a pretty good sense of direction, but I thought I knew where I was going. I thought that I knew which way was north and which way was east. But by the time it was all said and done, I couldn't tell which way was up and which way was down. And so I needed the GPS. Listen to me, church. Don't launch before your time. Saul missed it because God wasn't moving fast enough when Samuel the prophet was supposed to come and offer sacrifices. So Saul got impatient with God and decided that he would step into the office of a priest instead of the office of a king. And it cost him his kingship because he got ahead of God and didn't wait for the instructions of God. We miss our turns because we're going too fast. David waited on his appointed time, even though he was anointed to be king of Israel, but he still went back to shepherding sheep. Because just because you've been anointed doesn't mean that it's your appointed time. My God, somebody hear me. There is an anointing, but there's also an appointing. I was anointed to be pastor long before I was ever appointed as pastor. Hear me now. I was anointed as worship leader long before I ever got the title of worship leader. You got to understand that just because you have an anointing doesn't mean that you drop everything and go do it. You got to wait for the instructions of the Lord. You see, on your GPS, it'll tell you in 274 miles, take a left. But if you took a left right now, you're early. You're not there yet. You have a destination, but you're not at the destination. Because here's the deal. When God gives you a destination, you're not going to be the same person you are right now once you get there. Because it's going to be the journey that causes you to be somebody completely, maybe even different by the time you get to the destination that God wants you at. Because God knows that it's the journey that's going to cause you, though the flaws to fall off and the flaws to get sanded down. It's the journey that's going to cause you to be ready for the anointed and appointed time that He's got for you. Let your anointing override your appointing. Because time is so crucial. Some people burn out because they use up all their fuel on the launch and they have nothing left for the long haul. They tell me that back when the space shuttle used to be launched into space, that it would use 80% of its fuel for the first 6 inches of flight. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they tell me. I read it on the internet, so it's got to be true. No, it was a paper, it was something that I read in NASA years ago. But that just astounded me. Because here's what I thought. If they use 80%, they only got 20% to get to where they're going and get back. I don't like that ratio. But that's what we've got to take away from here is the launch is so important. The launch in relationships. The launch is so important. Getting started is so important. Listen, church. Never be in such a hurry you can't wait for instructions. See, because there's so many people. How many people do you know, don't point at them now, but how many people do you know that started out a hero but wound up a zero? Because they didn't have enough fuel left. When they started out good. The Bible says it this way. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Said you started out good, but what happened to you? Why did you fail? Here's another reason why we miss the instructions even when we have GPS, because we're too busy with other things to pay attention to the instructions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? See, I'll tell you why I changed GPS's on the way up. On the first route, or the first leg of my journey, I just had a GPS and it speaks, but it wasn't loud enough for me to hear it because I'm on a motorcycle. And it didn't have a place to plug it in through the speakers on my motorcycle. So I could not hear it. So, oh God, help me now. So I would be busy trying to pay attention to the traffic and would miss seeing where I was supposed to turn. Because I had too many distractions that I had to do or it would have hurt me, so therefore I missed the turn. But when I missed the turn, it cost me time, energy, and frustration. All right, let me give you a third one. The instructions, why we miss it, is the instructions don't match what I see. Take a left. No. Surely he don't mean me to turn right there. Anybody else? That is not it. We got to the last leg of our journey, my brother and I. We needed to go to the Harley-Davidson dealership there in Las Vegas, and he bought a new Harley on our trip. He bought one, so he plugged it into Harley, and we went there and we pulled up and the lady said, "You have reached your destination." This ain't no Harley dealer. We're out in front of a hotel. I was like, "You crazy." Ron, and he said, "Ronnie, put it in your GPS." I said, "Okay, here it is." Took me around the block and brought me right back to where we were. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Frustration? But I didn't believe the GPS. I said, there's no way. And you know what? So we just said, well, they must have closed down. So we punched in another Harley dealership and found it several miles away. And matter of fact, we got separated in, on our journey, and I finally found him. And I said, I was blind, but now I can see. And I was lost, but now I'm found. And so but you know what happened? Later on during the week, we went into this hotel and realized that there were all kind of shops in there. And we walked up to about this one. I just punched him. He goes, what? I go, Harley dealer. He said, man, the GPS was trying to get us to come in here, but because we couldn't see it, we didn't believe it was here. My God, somebody hear me. Somebody hear me. Pastor, you don't understand what I'm seeing, but have you heard what God said? Because you got to believe, if you trust the GPS, you got to believe that he brought you to such a time as this at the place where you are. And if you will just hold on and look around and not just see with the open eye or what's on the surface, but look, God has a plan for your life. Oh, come on, give him praise in the house. Now, sometimes it never made sense, but I trusted the GPS because I didn't know where I was. And let me just tell you, I said it last week, but let me say it again. It's so much easier to trust the GPS when you don't have a clue where you're at. But when you think you know where you're at, you start discounting the GPS. Right? I didn't discount it. Well, okay, I did a few times. When I didn't know where I was at, but when I knew where I was at, I'd even cut it off. And sometimes we get in trouble because we unplug the GPS because we think we know where we're at. But you're not exactly sure where you're going. My God, somebody. Point number two is this. Recalculation is inevitable in any long journey. I don't care who you are. If you take a long journey, I ain't talking about 3 miles. But if you take a long journey, there's some recalculations going on. And now I want you to think about this. You're starting in the gates of hell where God rescued you and I from. And he's taking you to heaven. But now here's where Pentecostals miss it. I was like, where? Oh, I thought, Roy, I brought a towel in here. I did. I laid it over here. Because I got to look at it. Where is my Bible? So sometimes we Pentecostals, we just think about heaven. And we don't think about our life on earth. But the Bible says that he come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Well, no, he was talking about heaven. No, that's going to be more abundantly. But I mean here on earth. And so I refuse to let anybody that is not saved enjoy themselves more than I do. I just refuse. Because here's my philosophy. If you're not enjoying your salvation, you're doing it wrong. You know, Jim Hajak, who is over our motorcycle ministry, Jim Hajak said something to me several years ago that's always stuck with me. He's only been saved about, 15, how many years now? About 16 years now. All right, he's really only been saved about 10. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. He's been saved about 16 years. And here's what he said to me. He said, Pastor, I don't want the Lord to come back right now. I go, what? He goes, man, I didn't live this Christian life for 40 of my years. He said, I'm just starting to come into my own with God. I'm really enjoying my life in Christ. And I don't want the Lord to come back. Man, that's the way you ought to live. If you're always sitting around like, oh, I just can't wait for the Lord to come back. I just ready for him to come. You're not living the life that God told you to live. Oh, well, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it wasn't for no luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's that's not what God's called you to live. Yeah, but you just don't understand the people I'm living with. Start praying for them. Amen. Pray either God move them out or kill them. One of the two, I don't know. Probably shouldn't pray against killing them, but anyway, you know, move them something. But I'm just telling you, now, Pastor, are you saying that all of your life is just great? No, no. I go through some of the same things you do, but I can tell you that more of my life is great than more of my life is bad. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed. Come on, somebody. Recalculation is inevitable. I'm on point 2. I got to hurry because I've been preaching already, and I got 10 minutes to finish. One of the nice features on the GPS is this recalculation feature. Whenever I took a wrong, the GPS speaks to you. But before it speaks, it recalculates. Before it speaks, it recalculates. Now, the GPS has the grace, maybe not the grace, but has some grace-like attributes like God. Now, some of y'all think that's sacrilegious. Well, just take your little religion and religious self and set it down. Because here's why I say that. Because my GPS always spoke to me in the same pleasant voice. Missed the turn? There would be a sign that comes on says recalculating. And it didn't get upset. It's just going to tell you how to get back on the right track. And it would go, take a left at the next available turn. Now, you know that's not human, because if it was human, you're so stupid. Turn, fool! What's wrong with your crazy self? You can't see, you blind what? Oh, Lord Jesus, you blind and deaf. You can't even hear. I've been screaming at you to turn. Right? If that was human, they'd quit talking to us. I'm done. I ain't wasting my time. No, sir. I've tried to tell you, but no. All right? If it was human, now I don't know, anybody else have a name for their GPS? A couple of you. Mine's named Gene. A girl's name, Gene. Because I told last week, Gene, I named it Gene because an old woman, Gene Walker, who's a pastor's wife, retired now, and she said, you know that girl on the GPS, you know she's a little loose. I said, Gene, how can you say that? She said, because any woman that knows every back street in Florida, you know they loose. So we named ours Gene. But Gene doesn't say to me, stupid, why did you do that? Or didn't you hear me? I said turn right, not left. She didn't go, look at you now. Now you're going to be late. No, whenever I make a mistake in my journey, Gene wouldn't say anything. The screen would just read, recalculating. And you could always get back on track. Now listen, the GPS would recalculate from any position. If you don't get nothing else, I say you get this point. God will recalculate you from wherever you find yourself. Hallelujah, Jesus. Aren't you glad that the GPS, you know, as many wrong turns as I made, I'm so glad that finally the Gene goes, Gene, where am I supposed to go? No, I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done talking to you. I ain't even going to try no more. Just, I'm done. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Gene just kept recalculating. And whenever you find yourself and stop, it'll recalculate and go, now let's get back on track. And that's what God says. God says, that's called grace. That's called grace. He said, yeah, you messed up. But let me tell you how to get back on track. It's inevitable that we're going to mess up along the way in our destination in life with God. And when we mess up, basically, two different ways. Either first, we mess up accidentally, or we make a wrong turn because we're confused and ignorant. But I like two-lane roads. And the GPS would tell me, here's what the GPS would say. I'd be driving along. And the GPS every once in a while would come on and go, we found a faster route. And I would go, really? Tell me about this faster route. And it would say, faster route involves tolls. Sometimes, if you're willing to pay the price, you can get there a little faster. My God. Ooh, that just hit me again. Well, Pastor, I've been on this journey for 20 years. I still ain't no any further than where I, because you ain't willing to pay the price. If you're willing to pay the price, you can get there a little faster. Are you willing to pay the passage? Point number three is this, and I'm done. The recalculating takes place where you are. You know what I'm so glad? Is when I got up into Georgia, and I don't even know where I was at. When I got up into Georgia and I made a few wrong turns, it didn't say, all right, stupid, go back to Crystal River and let's try this again. Aren't you glad? But it just said recalculating where I was, not where I should have been. Hear me now. Not where I ought to be, not where people think I am, but where I am. And this feature doesn't wait for you to get back to where you got off track. It plots a course from where you are. Hallelujah. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you are in your life and how far off track you are in your life. It doesn't wait for you to get things better. Here's what when you talk to people about God, here's what I hear a lot. Well, I'm going to get some things right, and then I'm going to come to God. Uh-uh. Wrong answer. Well, I got to take care of a few things, and then I'm going to start going to church. No. Start where you are. Not where you was, not where you should be, not where people think you are, not where mama thinks you are. Start where you are. And the only thing that you got to start where you are is just give a universal sign unto God. Lord, I give up. I've messed up my life. But God, if you will recalculate my life, then I know that it will be better than where I am right now. And it might take you a little while. Listen to me. Just because that you get recalculated doesn't mean you instantaneously get on the fast track. Matter of fact, I don't know about yours, but my GPS sometimes, you'll look at it and you'll see the track over here and you'll be a little ways from it. And it'll say, go to the highlighted route. Let me tell you something. God's never at a loss where you are. When Jonah came to shore, God didn't say, go back to where you were before you got on this ship. He just said, go to Nineveh. See, church, we wander away. We wander away without really thinking about it, or we move away in rebellion to reveal the truth of God's word. God is constantly watching over us. I want you to think about how amazing this is. From my understanding, GPS has 24 satellites that can hone in on your position on earth. Well, how much more amazing is God, who can not only hone in on your position on earth, but can spot your car in the parking garage of Shan's Hospital and knows the number of hairs on your head under the cap that you're wearing. He not only knows where you are, but he knows what's on your mind. He not only knows who you are, but he knows where you've been. He knows where you're going. He knows where you want to go, and he knows where he wants to take you. How awesome and amazing is God's positional system that leads you not only from temptation, but delivers you from evil. When you take a wrong turn, God doesn't get confused. He just recalculates. And if you listen to him, he'll give you the path to get to the destination. You know, I got a little writer's cramp this weekend because I spent time, something I always do in the 11 o'clock service as we honor the seniors. Our church always gives them a life application Bible, study Bible, so they can study the Word of God. And Pastor John and I usually write a little note in there. And I believe on every one of them, I tried to write it anyway, I think I did. I don't have just a standard thing I write. But I did try to write on each one of them that this book is a roadmap to success. Wherever you want to go in life, this will lead you there. Well, Pastor, what if I want to go down the evil road? It's a roadmap to tell you how to get there. But it's also the roadmap to every success story in life. I'm a student of leadership. I'm a student of, I like reading motivational books. I've read Zig Ziglar. I've read John Mason, John Maxwell. But all of these guys, you can put back every successful principle back to this book. This is our roadmap. And Jesus Christ is our GPS. I want you to bow your heads with me this morning. I don't want you to stand right now. I just want you to bow your heads with me. And ask yourself the question, do I need to be recalculated? Am I following the path that God's laid before me? Or have I went my own? Have I veered off because I haven't paid attention? Have I veered off because I didn't hear him well, or have I veered off because of my own stubbornness, my own position? Only you and the Lord can answer that for you. I can't. Now, if you know Jesus, he'll recalculate you. But if you don't know him, that's the first thing you need to do is ask him to come into your life. Forgive you of your sins. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. But if that's you, you don't know Jesus, but you want to ask him to come into your life, would you slip up your hand? I'll give you my word. I'm not going to embarrass you. Anybody in this building? Let me ask you this question. You know you veered off. You just need to be recalculated. Come on, slip your hand up. Hands all over this building. Now I'm going to ask everybody to stand. And I just want you to lift up your hands to him. Come on, plug your GPS back in. Part of that is just reaching up to him. God, here I am. I surrender. I surrender, God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I recognize, God, and I realize that we've all veered off course from time to time and kind of get lost in the hustle and bustle of life. But today, God, we plug our GPS back in. Today, God, we ask you to come in and make a difference in our life, God. I pray that you would come in, Lord, not where we should be, where we ought to be, but where we are. And God, our ears are open to you. Would you speak loudly and clearly?
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.